Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Happy New Year, 2026. I am so excited. Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this new year, this new season. Same you. Help us to focus on who you are, and that by reading your word, we see evidence of your attributes and character, and that we have access to those through salvation from your Son Jesus and through the Holy Spirit as our guide. May we seek you and maybe claim what we haven't in the past. May we find you and a newness in who you are, how able you are. I just thank you for your faithfulness, your holiness. And I'm so expectant for this year ahead. Thank you so much for the privilege to serve you. I offer you all praise and glory. It's in your Son's name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. Okay, let's get started. First things first, do you have your meeting place and what you're doing when you meet with God already planned? Man, I sure hope you do. I am so excited about this season, this year ahead, 52 weeks of time with the Lord. I'm going to start off by sharing from Elizabeth Elliot. She authored a book called Joyful Surrender, Seven Disciplines for the Believer's Life. And my Tuesday night accountability group that meets in my home has been walking together while reading this book. And we're on chapter 10 right now. And the title of that chapter is The Discipline of Time. And I'm going to read what Elizabeth Elliot writes within this chapter for each of you, because it's so applicable to us in this new year, 2026. She says, "The most important time of the day is the time spent alone with the Lord." And here's what she says. She basically gives us five expectations to have figured out so that we can declare it over ourselves and diligently, as disciples of the Lord, do them. So here they are, and I've been leading up to this in my podcasts for the last 2 months. So I hope you haven't answered all of them, but if you do not, it is not too late to finalize the last answers if one of these still is blank in your mind. Number one, let it be a regular time. At least 5 days a week, she says, have a special time for solitude and silence. If you've never done it before, she suggests we start with 10 minutes, a 10-minute timer. You will be surprised how quickly this goes by, and you will soon need to plan for more. So number one, time. Number two, have a special place, anywhere where you can be alone, even if it's a closet. She says a bathroom, or she says even in your car. And she even says even in your car in the garage when you drive in. 10 minutes. Number three, let your prayer include worship and thanks, as well as confession of sin. It's your time alone to speak to God. Speak to Him. Also pray for others. This is called intercession. So pray with confession, worship, thanks, and pray for intercession. List the names of people in your prayer. And she says, remember, God already knows. God already knows. So what Paulette is trying to remind you of is it doesn't take paragraphal praying over each person. You don't have to list the problem. You don't have to list suggested answers. It is as simple as saying the name. I'm going to get back to this in a minute. Let's stick to what Elizabeth's saying. So here we go. Number one, do you have the time chosen for you? Number two, the place. Number three, do you realize prayer is heavily required within that time? And remember, pray and thank Him, worship Him, confess your sin, and then pray for others in intercession. Number four, keep a spiritual journal. Write down maybe your prayer each day, what you're thanking Him for, what you're confessing, who you're intercessory praying for. Write down what you're reading in the Bible. This is great encouragement for us. You can go back and read it a month later, a year later. It is just so imperative that you journey your faith walk. And then number five, read a portion of the Bible each day. Now go back to number one and realize she says a minimum of 5 days a week. So let's just say you do Monday through Friday and you take Saturday and Sunday off from the reading of the word. Awesome. Or maybe you want to read Wednesday through Sunday and you take off Monday, Tuesday, whatever. Or maybe you're already in a rhythm of 6 days a week or 7 days a week. But shoot for a minimum of five if you've never started. Have your place. Know what you are going to do as part of your prayer time. Keep that journal. And now number five again, read a portion of the Bible. What does it look like for you? You get to decide. That's what's so exciting. You can choose maybe something from a YouVersion free program. Maybe you want to do a chronological or a walk through the Bible, which is available free for you from a YouVersion. Maybe you are doing some type of a book planned reading of the Bible in a sequence or an order that you choose. But here's how she finishes this section of the best time of the day is your time with God. She says, the best time for most people is early morning. Not because we want to jump out of bed, but because it's the only time of day where we can be fairly sure of meeting with God. If you try to do it in the middle or the end of the day, it is often consumed by something else. An excuse will come up. So first of the day to commune with God removes excuses. Your attitude toward God will then carry through the rest of your day as an attitude for others. Offering God the first of your day is a token of consecrating the rest of your time for Him that day. So I just wanted you to hear that. That's from Elizabeth Elliot. Now, I want to share with you for myself that I know most of you have heard this before, but I get up first thing of the day, and I get on my knees and I simply say, I give you this day. Rid me of anything that is not becoming of a daughter of the King. But I'm literally in my mind saying that. What I'm saying is literally just rid me. But I know that means of anything that is not becoming. It's confessional in nature. And then I say, fill me, which is welcoming, requesting, seeking the Holy Spirit to who I know lives within me because I am saved, but it is still acknowledge Him that I am seeking Him to fill me enough for that day, and then send me out to those I need to be under, still learning and being mentored by, and any and everyone that He feels so worthy that I should in somehow impart or model for. So it is a very simple kneel, I give you this day, rid me, fill me, send me. Boom. I immediately commune with Him in that way, that simple short way. At minimum, I'm going to have that done. It still sets the tone of the entire day that he is worthy. I give him honor and praise in that first. Then I go about my morning routine. I have a prayer routine where I name people like Elizabeth Elliot. It doesn't have to be this huge, long, lengthy, giving him the scenario, the situation, giving him options for what he can do with it. It is simply naming the person. I give it some silence, space, time. Sometimes I receive something in that silence, just a confirmation of faith or affirmation of just like peace. Sometimes a scripture verse is brought to my mind, so I just know, whoo, and then I can either share that with that person, or I just know it is something of promise that God is sharing with me for being faithful to lift up the names of the people I'm praying over. And then it is my time at the table, my time in the Word, my time to spiritually journal, and my time to pray in more length myself individually for my need to offer him praise, to thank him, to confess, and my just how I am going to receive from the word that I read that day and seeking to apply it. I always remind you that if we're reading the word just to read the word, or if we're listening to the word being read, that is amazing. But if we don't apply what we've read, then we're just reading it in a novel format. We're reading it to learn and we're reading it to admire, but we're not reading it with the intentionality of it changing us. So if you have no plan yet for how you're going to read the Word of God, I'm just going to offer what at the moment there are close to 55 women that have committed with accountability to do this plan this year. It's called The Bible in a Year. It's a 52-week journey through God's Word. It is not reading the entire Bible. At the end of December, I did finish reading the entire Bible. It was through a YouVersion app. This is a thematic reading of the Bible. It's put out by Spiral Bible, and we are starting it today. We will meet this evening at NLC Fayetteville, and I'm just going to read one component of what this says in its introduction. It says it's a weekly devotional that introduces a theme. It provides theological context and practical relevance for our contemporary life. Each week will include 7 carefully selected Bible passages that build upon each other to deepen our understanding of the theme. And these verses come from various parts of Scripture, helping us see the consistency of God's truth across different biblical contexts. And then the reason I chose it and offered it is because it is based on the truth of God's Word, but it offers us 3 very thoughtful reflection questions for application each week. It offers us to examine the understanding of God's Word and to practically apply it to our life. So that's when I realized that, yes, this is a study of God's Word with the application part and in a journal format. So if you do not have anything yet chosen, I offer for you to look up www.spiralbible.com and look at this 52-week journal. It is a great option if you don't already have one. So what we are going to do this year on my podcast is every Monday, I will touch on the theme of the week. I will read just a little bit of the page and a half synopsis. I will read the 7 verses that they are offering for us to read just by scripture reference. In case you don't purchase it, you'll still be able to write down the verses and look them up for the 7 days. I will read you the prayer that it offers us to pray daily as a blessing, and I will share with you 1 of the 3 reflection questions. So this way, if you haven't purchased it or you're choosing not to purchase it, you'll get a little something. And then what I am going to do is always somehow with commentary and the study of one of the seven verses, give you a little bit still of verse mapping that matches our theme of creation. So I want you to know that the Monday episode of this podcast may actually increase in length because we're covering kind of a week of a theme. But just so you know, I won't be podcasting on Wednesdays anymore. And some of you may be going, what? But I'm going to take a different direction with intentionally meeting with women and verse mapping. So I'm going to combine the verse mapping with our Monday theme here on the podcast. Then when Maddie and I or someone else at my table and I do get together, it will be a special Wednesday episode, but it won't be weekly by nature because I really want you listeners sinking your own teeth into the Word of God daily in the way that He wants to meet with you this year. So here we go. The first theme of this whole 52 week that we start today is creation and God's nature. And I'm going to just read the beginning synopsis. The story of creation reveals not just how the universe came to be, but more importantly, it unveils the character and nature of God as all-powerful, intentional, and personally involved in His creation. The seven scripture references given to us for the week is Genesis 1, 1 through 3, Psalm 19, 1 through 4, 1 John 1, 1 through 3, Colossians 1, 15 through 17, Isaiah 40, 28, Romans 1, 20, and Revelation 4, 11. The blessing for the week is may you walk through this week with eyes wide open to the wonder of God's creation, seeing His fingerprints in both the magnificent and the mundane. And may each glimpse of His creative power draw you closer to His heart. Now I'm going to give you one of the three application questions. It's look at the coming week. Where could you spend 10 minutes outdoors each day to intentionally observe God's creation? Choose a specific time and place, and then it gives us a space to write about it. So here's the deal. What did we say Elizabeth Elliot recommended? She said find a place to have your time with God, the most important time of the day. And what did she recommend for us? She recommended a minimum of 10 minutes. And then what does this journal entry offer us the very first beginning of the year? How can you 10 minutes a day look at God's creation? So if you have no other plan this week, how about 10 minutes outside looking at its creation and being in prayer with God? And then the verses that I read to you, pick one each day and just simply read it and write about it. Now, what I did is I looked ahead at these verses and I chose one to actually verse map. So the one I chose to verse map is Romans 1:20, and it's how creation reveals God. I'm going to read it to you. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of this world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. I'm going to read it one more time. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Romans 1:20. So the first thing, of course, that I do is I write down words that leap off the page to me to explore more. I wrote down invisible, eternal, divine, perceived, creation, an excuse. Then I always look at other words in other versions of the Bible that replace the word that I had isolated. So I'm going to reread the Romans 1:20, inserting words from other Bible translations in place of the word that I named. So here's how it sounds using other words. For his unseen attributes, namely his everlasting virtue and his deity, have been clearly understood ever since he made the foundation of the world. So they are without defense. Now, let's talk about what that means. It means that we have to, with faith, see God. His attributes are not visible to our physical sight. So the fact that we have faith in who he is, and by reading of the word, we see what he is powerful and able to do. We believe in that. We believe he was and is and forever will be. We believe he is supreme. We believe in the Trinity and the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we perceive it or see it, not through our sight, but through our mind, our spirit, that the capacity of us knowing the Lord is in our faith. Because we know that there was an origin for the world and ourselves, and that that founder, that creator that brought all into being is God. Therefore, it is impossible to accept it without belief in the creator. And that there is no excuse, there is no defense for him not being God, for him not being who he is. Now, Romans was written by Paul, who was a missionary, and he was trying to make sure that everyone realized the necessity of faith. Without faith, we are blind to believing, because Satan attacks our senses and tries to bring doubt. Very first thing he did to Eve in the garden was to make her doubt who God was, the power and sovereignty of him. And what did he say to her? Are you sure that's what he really said about the tree? Are you sure that's really said about the fruit? And she doubted. So Paul was urgently trying to express faith is necessary for you to see and believe God. We have to have faith. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust the lies of Satan. Believe in God. Have faith in your creator. Let everything be in his hands. He's created you. He's created everything. He has your life ahead of you. Trust that. That's without excuse. I'm going to tell you some of the verses that I found through the study of this passage, Romans 1:20. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. John 1:3, through him all things were made. Jeremiah 10:12, the Lord made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Acts 17:24 through 27. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by human hands. Revelations 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Job 12:7 through 9. But ask the animals, and they will instruct you. Ask the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Acts 14:17, he gives testimony to his goodness. Psalm 19:1 through 4, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Colossians 1:16 and 17, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. Nehemiah 9:6, you alone are the Lord. You created the heavens. You give life to all things. Psalm 104, verse 24, how many are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Isaiah 45:18, he established it to be inhabited. Wow! As I go into year 2026, the big thing that I realize is, Paulette, you should not care one iota about the whens, the wheres, the hows, the whats, if you know the who. You don't have to worry about how it's going to come to pass if you know the who. Who he is the creator of everything, sovereign God. He orchestrated it all from the very beginning. He created me specifically for who I am, for his purposes. He has me in his hands. Just like he knows the number of hairs on her head, just as he provides for the sparrows, as he provides for the trees, the flowers, insects, he provides for us. So what is there for me to ever worry about? I can rest in his peace. I can have joy in his presence. I can serve him, his majesty. I can request. I can lay anything I have that is problematic and anxiety, anxious coming to me in full surrender in front of him. He loves me enough to take care of it for me. I can pursue one thing, and that is to grow my faith, to develop my faith, to continue my fellowship, to study his word, to seek the Holy Spirit, to give God my glory, to seek wisdom. That's what I can do. That's how I'm going to continue to spend my time. This is what the Worsley New Testament says. Inasmuch as from the first creation of the world, the invisible things of God, his eternal power and Godhead are evident, clearly seen in the works of his hand. Here's what Matthew Henry says. Our Creator's invisible power and Godhead are so clearly shown in the works he has made that even idolaters and wicked people are left without excuse but to know that there is a Creator. This is what C.S. Robinson says. See here, I hold a Bible in my hand, and by seeing the cover and the letters and the words, I know there was a writer. I know there was a printer. I know there was an ink maker, a paper maker, a binder. You never did see them. You never will see them. And yet there is not one excuse to dispute or deny that these men existed. So go further. I affirm that you see with your soul the creator and author of this book. If you see a picture, you know there was a painter. If you see a house, you know there was a builder. If you see creation, you know there was a wise and good creator. Isn't that beautiful? If there is ever a moment that you doubt that God is near, look out the window, walk outside, listen to the birds, watch the leaves blowing in the wind, feel the wind on your face, feel the coldness, watch the snow, watch the sunset, watch the sunrise, watch a rainbow, watch an ant, watch your pet, watch the sun. That is a reminder that God is good. God, your creator who created you, is near. So here's what I wrote down as my application for this verse about there is no excuse. There is no excuse when you look at creation for not giving glory to God, for his power and his divine nature, for his awesome magnificentness. So here's my personal challenge for myself. Without excuse means I am challenging myself to have no excuse other than to go zealously after God again in 2026. So here's what I wrote about from my mind. May this 2026, I be reminded by creation of my Creator, and that I continue to see with faith. That's how I'm going to see. I rebuke doubt, I see with faith. That's my when, my where, my why, my how, because I know the who. May this 2026, I be reminded to faith, trust with my heart. And may this 2026, I be reminded to faith, walk. That's my action. So I'm going to faith see, I'm going to faith trust, I'm going to faith walk. And what's great about it is to do it with others. Because in isolation, Satan can tempt you enough, cause enough doubt, stir enough wonder of, I don't know that God is showing up for me. But with an accountability partner and you vulnerably sharing the challenges of where you are, that person can intercede for you in prayer, and they can remind you that God is good. They can ask and challenge you and offer you things to think about, pray about, write about. They can say, now listen, you just have to have faith. Come on, keep trusting. Keep walking the walk. Walk with me as I walk with Jesus in the Word. So here's the prayer that I wrote for myself entering into 2026. May I walk through this year with my eyes, mind, and heart and will wide open to your wonder. May your creation draw me closer to you, my Creator. So that's the prayer I have for each of you, that you determine for yourself how you are going to daily meet with your Creator. How are you going to do that daily? And by meeting with Him, seek to be drawn closer to Him. Seek to be encouraged. Seek to be in wonder and awe of Him. And then tell others about it. Share with others how magnificent your Creator is. And when, not if, when you get to those moments of, I don't know how I'm going to make this. I don't know when this is going to come true for me. I don't know where this is going to happen. I don't know why this is happening. You can remind yourself that I see with faith. I trust with faith. I walk with faith. I do in faith because of the boldness I have access to from my Creator. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.